LBC, good morning. I'm Clive Bull with you between now and 4 o'clock. We are talking technology in this hour between now and three. And joining us is Fevzi Turkalp, the editor of GadgetDetective.com and the Gadget Detective podcast. We are going to talk about technological developments. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Much appreciated. Well, just ask you first of all about a story that is not going away, and it's again on the front pages this morning, the potential social media ban for under-16s. And I think it's the Times, the Sunday Times this morning, are quoting doctors saying that they consider it a medical emergency, a public health emergency, the impact of phones on children. What do you make of that? And do you think that there is anything in the idea of a ban?
I mean, in terms of the harms, I mean, there clearly are harms. The detail of it, I think, is still a work in progress, not least because even the definition of social media is not clear and the technology keeps developing. And, you know, to do research into harms takes many years. And by the time you've researched the harm of a particular type of service, that service doesn't exist in that form anymore. So I think one politicians are going to have to go with their intuition on this and common sense. There are arguments. I mean, protecting mental health, brain development, sleep, screen time's not good for your sleep, blocking harmful content, removing predators and addictions. These are all, positive things. But is a ban the right thing to do? I mean, for example, a VPN will get round this. If you have a ban for the... I mean, Australia found this. They've introduced an under-16s ban on social media. And, VPN use rocketed.
We should just explain. A VPN is a way...
It's a virtual private network, and it's
you can amongst hide other where things, you are.
Yeah, or you can appear to be somewhere else, more to the point. So if you appear to be in a territory which doesn't have that ban, then you can do that. I mean, there are ways around it. It depends on how seriously they want to take it. But also, there is an argument to say that we should be focusing more on the social media companies and pushing them to make their products safe. It's because these harms, although you can make the argument that they affect under-16s disproportionately, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 67-year-old can also be harmed by these things. So there is an argument to say, even if you do this, don't only do this, come down more heavily, regulate more meaningfully. Because these are products that were designed to be addictive, designed to keep you watching the screen as much as possible, because that's their business model. I personally would ban the business model and look at the algorithms more carefully. But whether huge American companies, where Donald Trump now has their back, are going to be regulatable by European countries, I think, is an open question.
Absolutely. Now, I've got lots of questions coming in already and comments, so let me throw a few of these at you. Simon in Bray, first of all, has got a thank you comment. He's WhatsApped in to say, "Morning, Clive. Can I just thank Fevzi for a couple of things from when I listened to his last visit to you? Firstly, I bought an Anker charger, and it's excellent. Secondly, the advice about not buying a second-hand Apple with an Intel processor was invaluable, as I now know that they are stopping support for them this year. So thank you very much, Fevzi."
You're very welcome. Glad to hear that. Thanks for taking the trouble.
Yeah. Nick from Wandsworth says, "Clive, please can you tell me, or can Fevzi tell me, when the HomePod Mini 2s are coming out? Because my HomePod Mini needs a blood transfusion."
Yeah, so for those that don't know, HomePod Mini is like Apple's version of a Amazon Alexa box, but it's built into the Apple ecosystem. It's been due for replacement. It was originally due towards the end of last year. Then they said spring. The truth is, we don't know. My best guess would be about middle of the year, but it just depends. It's clearly not quite ready yet.
Right. And Shane in Sydney says, Clive, could you please ask Fevzi, how often should I charge my power banks? I keep them in case we have a blackout.
Okay, so these are the large power banks that are capable of powering mains devices. That's a good question. I mean, if you don't charge them at all and you let them go to zero and you let them stay at zero, not only will they not be ready when you need them, but they may be incapable of accepting a charge. Happened to me, I had a unit that was worth about £1,000. It was in storage. And when I came to charge it, it just wouldn't take a charge. I tried every trick I knew. In the end, I lost the unit. So I would keep them. I would top them up at least once a month. You know, I'd look at how. Yeah, I'd look at how quickly they're losing charge. I certainly wouldn't let them drop below about 80%. I'd try and keep them between 20 and 80% if possible. You don't want to run them all the way down. It's similar rules to, you know, a mobile phone. If you were going to put a mobile phone in storage, not only would you switch it off, you know, completely so it's not drawing down power, but you'd intermittently keep it charged. So I'd say once a month, just give it a quick top up. Sometimes let it run down and then top it all the way back up again.
That's a really good point, because often the reason for these power banks, whether they're the big ones or the little ones, is because you want to have them for emergencies. And the classic thing to do, and I've done this myself, is you get a power cut and then you haven't charged them up, and they're no use at all.
Yeah, it can happen. I mean, the technology is improving. I mean, there's new technologies that are sort of taking over from lithium-ion batteries that were traditionally in these units, and they retain the power better, and they allow you more recharge cycles as well, sometimes as much as four times as many, which means that four times the life of the unit, not per charge, but in terms of how many years they will last before they die on you.
Let's talk to Nigel in Aldershot. Hello, Nigel.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello, Nigel. Because I was just making a cup of coffee.
Ah.
Yeah. Two sugars.
No, diabetic. You've got no chance. Fevzi, first thing is your power banks. If you use a lithium iron balance charger, it evens it out right across, and you only have to put minimum in it. I fly used to fly radio controlled aircraft, lithium ion batteries all the way through it. But anyway,
so when you say a balance charger, are you pointing to the fact that it's made up of a number of cells and they can discharge at slightly different rates and to keep them balanced?
No, the actual charging unit that you plug your batteries to levels the amount of power out in each battery cell. Therefore, it will retain the power. Like you said, that you couldn't use that unit you had. If you'd have plugged it into a balance charger, it would have sucked out of one cell and pushed it to the next cell. So it's a straight line right across.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I mean, it's fair advice, but I think the main advice I was trying to give is just don't leave it too long, because if they go to zero and stay at zero, they can be irrecoverable.
So, yes, but that wasn't right. Your question, Nigel. What was your question?
No, it wasn't. Sorry, Clive.
That's all right.
I was just trying to be helpful.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm a 69-year-old idiot as far as the computer goes. Clive knows, like, now I'm sitting up playing Age of Empires. But I want to get on my newish computer, which is running Windows 10, and I know it's out of date. What headset would you recommend, i.e. headphone, microphone, and what AI would you recommend that I use on the computer?
Right,
I want to dictate some letters through AI.
Yeah, I would buy, if you're comfortable with it, I would buy a headset which goes, over the ears with a boom microphone. The thing because if you're going to do dictation, you need as clear as possible. If you were to use just earbuds, for example, which obviously fit in the ear, the only place the microphone can go is on the ear, which obviously is distant from your mouth and the direction of...
What I want is one that I can plug into the back of the computer, just hang it up when I'm not using it in my computer room.
Yeah, no, I understand. What I would do is I would buy a lavalier mic. Those are the little clip-on mics that you see TV presenters use.
Yeah.
You can buy one for about £30. Rode do good ones, R-O-D-E. They're an Australian microphone company.
Okay.
So you can buy one of those. Now, if you've got a microphone input on your computer, then you can plug it straight in.
Yeah.
If you haven't, then you get a small little audio interface. And Rode, again, do one of these, called something called an AI Mini or something like that. It's a small little unit. You can probably manage to get both together for under £100. I know that's not cheap, but in terms of the quality, and what you can do with the lavalier microphones, you can clip it very close to you, yes? And you can get good quality, because particularly if you're going to do dictation and you're going to speak into an AI system, it's important to get it as clear as possible. In terms of what AI you should use, I mean, what I would recommend you do is try two or three different ones using the free tier. So all of these AI, be it ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini 3 from Google, or Claude from Anthropic, those are the big four. They all have free tiers that very often give you almost the full capabilities, but just you can use it less before you hit the limits is usually the way it works. So I would try those. But as a general sort of indication, ChatGPT is a bit of a jack of all trades. And in that sense, if you've only got one AI, that's not a bad one to have. Gemini 3 is rather similar. And at the moment, I wouldn't worry too much about which one, to be honest, because what's happening is one leapfrogs the other every month or 2 months, a new version comes out and it beats the other ones in the benchmarks. However, if you are interested in doing research and you want citations for the information, so you know that AIs can hallucinate, they can give incorrect information, Perplexity is very good because it's more like a search engine on steroids. And what it does is it gives you the citations, it gives you the links of where it got the information that it's quoting you, so you can go and check it for important things. Anthropic is produces Claude. Claude is particularly good for coding. There's something called Claude Code. So if you were you're wanting to produce code with the help of an AI, that would be the way to go. But it's also good at writing prose as well. So, but all of them do all of it. They just have slightly different strengths and opinions differ. So the thing to do is just sign up for 2, 3, 4 of them and try them out. And it will be quite clear to you which ones you get on better with.
And when he was talking about dictating, so can you use an AI, one of those that you just mentioned, just talk into a microphone and say, please type this out then as I say it, and it will do
it? You can. So sometimes I have a recording of a meeting or an appointment. You know, you can record medical advice or whatever it is. And, of course, you then take that and you ask it to transcribe it. So you give it to it and you give it. I mean, an iPhone will do a basic transcription on board, but often it has errors. So then what you can say to the AI is, it's interesting because one of our gadgets actually deals with this topic this week, but you can say to the AI, correct this transcription, not just based on what you hear, but on your understanding of the subject, the context, which is exactly what we do as humans when we speak to each other. We don't hear every word that we say, but we use our contextual understanding to think, well, he must have meant this or he must have meant that. And also context is important because, you know, time flies and fruit flies, right? So it's quite important. It used to be that grammar checkers would never work for years because they didn't understand what was being said. Grammar checkers now work and they can correct style and so forth. So it depends. If you're doing a recording of a conversation, then what you want is a verbatim copy corrected where the AI is confident of the correction. If, however, you're dictating a letter, it can help improve the flow of it, make it more professional. You can change, for example, you can say, you know, have this at a reading level that Donald Trump would understand, for example, and it will adjust it appropriately.
Age date. Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. Great question, Nigel. 52 Cups with us. Lots of questions coming in. We'll have a look at some more of those. And with me is 52 Cup, the gadget detective. We are talking tech between now and 3 o'clock. If you have a question, give us a call. Here's one for you, Fevzy. It's Tony in Chertsey. Hello, Tony.
Hi, McFly.
Hi.
Hi, Fevzy. Hi. What I would like to know is, what's the actual difference between 3, 4 and 5G?
Okay, very good question. So G refers to generation, so it's the generations of digital wireless digital communications over the cell phone network. Okay, so we're not talking about local Wi-Fi, we're not talking about Bluetooth, which is short range. These are radio waves that travel, you know, huge distances over, well, to the nearest cell, and then it jumps from cell to cell. What you've generally seen is increase in speed and hopefully reliability, but actually 5G, although it does increase the speed, and there's 5G is just not one standard, there's different types of 5G. So there's, for example, something called millimeter wave 5G, which is horrendously fast. But one of the big benefits of 5G over 4G is the number of connections that can be made in a particular cell. Okay, so you think of like the country and the world divided into cells, which are the broadcast areas of these cell towers. And the reason why that is and also lower latency, that's to say a lower delay. So for conversations, that the latency is not important. But one of the things that's really important about 5G is because we're going to have things like autonomous vehicles and all sorts of other devices that need to be wirelessly connected. So you can't have a situation where you've got, say, an autonomous device and it drives into an area and it loses connection. So 5G not only is faster and has less delay in transmitting the data, but it also allows more simultaneous connections. So those are the sorts of things that you see. I do wish they'd put some more effort into making voice calls more robust and better quality.
Yes.
because you know, it's not a sexy thing to work on, but actually it's the bread and butter. Some people still make phone calls. I know that as we go through the generations now, phone calls are seen very differently amongst younger generations and older ones. You know, an unsolicited phone call can be deemed to be rude and intrusive,
yes.
You know. And even in my business life now, I find I have to do more by email and messaging. And if I want to speak, then we arrange it. It's like a meeting. Like, we don't just call somebody, even if they're a business contact, because it's not considered polite anymore.
Great question, Tony. Thank you very much for that. Here's a couple of others for you. Kim says, hi, Clive. Can you ask about the Starlink broadband? I'm with another company at the moment. Is Starlink more advanced than the other broadbands? Just explain what that is and whether it is a realistic option in this country now.
So Starlink is Elon Musk's company that provides broadband internet using satellites. So he has satellites in low Earth orbit, and they can cast, if you like, a radio shadow on the ground. And within that area, you can receive internet. So internet signal gets bounced up to the satellite and comes back down. And the interesting thing is, you get a little transceiver unit which has got a little dish on it, and so you can not only receive but you can send as well. With most internet use, you download much more information than you upload, which is why when you get broadband, it tends to be asymmetric. So normally the down speed is about 10 times the up speed. Having said that, things like video calls, it's important to get down and up speed, you know, decent, if not the same. So Starlink is good, but I would say that it's most useful in those areas where more conventional broadband connections are not available. One is because of the cost, and although it can be good, it can be a little bit hit and miss as well, because more satellites are going up, but it does depend on satellites being overhead, because they're not in what's called geostationary orbit. They move across the sky, but obviously the more satellites there are, the more reliable that service becomes, and they are also increasingly going to be used, satellites, to provide mobile phone communications where people have, what they call not spots areas where you just can't get a cell phone signal. They will increasingly use satellite technology for that. But Starlink itself, it's good, but I it wouldn't be my first choice where I can get, full fibre broadband, for example.
OK, let's talk to Lucy in Birmingham. Hello, Lucy.
Morning. Morning. Yes. I don't know if this is a consumer problem or something. You can probably answer it, but I was obliged to go from 3G to 5G. I was very happy with my 3G phone. I knew, how to use it. The new model is different, and I want to change it. But during the 30-day cooling off period that we're allowed, I went down with flu, so I couldn't. I'm stuck with this thing now. The pictures aren't clear. I've sort of got ghost pictures of people's faces. I can't hear the ringing tone if anyone calls me. So briefly, what do you suggest, please?
I think it depends on whether the device is faulty or whether, it doesn't meet your expectations. If it doesn't meet your expectations, it's a question of, did you articulate what you wanted it to do and did they tell you it would do it? But you may have some difficulty. It depends. Also, the legal position is a bare minimum of what you would expect. If you raise concerns and you escalate it until you get to a human being who's able to use some discretion, they may help you. But unless it's faulty, I would have thought that your rights would be fairly limited.
Yes, I did speak to a human the other day, and he's not prepared to. he wasn't prepared to do anything apart from offer me a repair or checking it. But as I said, I've got the alarm of the flat fixed to it. But that's not the end of the world. I've got something on the wall to operate the alarm. So, would you suggest that I get it sent off, and then if they find a fault, they'll change it for me?
Yes, if you or they suspect that there could be a fault, then it's if they will inspect it for free, I would take them up on it, because if it's faulty, then your position will be strengthened. If it's not, then at least you'll know.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and especially if you're getting ghost faces in pictures of people. Good luck, Lucy. Thank you very much for that one. Harry says, hi, Clive, can you ask your tech person, is DuckDuckGo browser AI good to use?
It is. So DuckDuckGo made its name as a search engine equivalent, alternative to Google. And their big selling point is that they don't track what you're searching and they don't keep logs of it. They did have a bit of a scandal when they were caught taking money from companies to prioritize them in searches, but then Google does that anyway and they're quite open about it. So yeah, I think it is a good thing. In terms of their AI, it's okay. I mean, you just need to be aware of privacy. It's outside, unless you've got a business subscription to an AI service, often the default is, when you use an AI system, the default is that your conversations and your information is used to train future generations of their AI models. Often you can opt out of it. So, for example, with ChatGPT, I think it's switched on by default, but you can switch it off. So there'll be a thing in the data settings saying, do you want to help improve the model? And what they really mean is, can we use recordings of what you say and the text of what you say to train models, and the answer to that is no. If you go for a business AI system, so let's say you subscribe to Business Copilot, then because you're paying extra for that, but then you can have much more privacy. They're not allowed to take what you say and use it to train. It's just not allowed. So, but generally speaking, rule of thumb, don't say anything to an AI that you don't want public.
Right. Now, talking of that, you mentioned earlier on a gadget that's to do with transcribing. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so this is from a brand called Soundcore. Soundcore is owned by Anker, so we've spoken about them before. It's one of the devices that was shown at CES in Las Vegas earlier this month. It's called the Soundcore Work, and it's a AI, of course, voice recorder. It's the size of a coin. The actual recorder is the size of about a pound coin.
Right.
Bit thicker, and you can clip it on like a lavalier mic, as we were talking before. You can clip it on. It comes with a neck band. You can wear it around your neck as well, or you can just place it on the tabletop. Mm-hmm. It's got two little array microphones built into it, obviously battery. The battery will give you about 8 hours recording time. It's a voice recorder, but it comes with a square thing, about 2 inches square, about half an inch thick, which is essentially as a battery pack. So it slots onto that, and then that 8 hours becomes 32 hours of recording time. And it's got a magnetic ring on it built into it. So actually, if you've got a phone like an iPhone or other phones now with a MagSafe type connector, which is that circular magnet that you see on the back of some phones, then it means it just snaps onto the back of your phone. It's very good for recording things like phone calls. It has the benefit because, you know, like phone call recording tools are built into phones, but they always warn the other person they're being recorded. Yeah, you get Apple will do an announcement at the beginning and then it will bleep every minute or half a minute or whatever it is. So if you want, it is your right in this country to make a recording of your conversation. You do not have to inform the other person. You may think it's polite. You don't have to do it. And if you don't want to do it, you know, the voice recorders built into phones give the game away. But these devices, they can record, they have a tally light, a little light that comes on. So if you're wearing it and someone's standing in front of you, they will see the light. But if you're on the phone, they won't see it. And as I say, it snaps on the back. But it's much more than just a voice recorder. It's an AI-powered transcription system based on ChatGPT, actually, is GPT-4. It'll be GPT-5, I think, fairly soon. So it will convert your recordings into text, supports over 100 different languages.
I can imagine spies liking this, because it's a tiny little thing.
Yeah, it's very James Bond-esque, you know. It's funny how, you know, what was science fiction has now become a part of our daily lives. Mm. But it's the AI transcription is very good, and you get templates. So one of the things it can do is it can distinguish between the speakers. So it can understand this voice is different from this voice, and it will say speaker one, speaker two, speaker three. Or you can name the speakers, and then the transcript will have the names. But it also has templates for different uses. So let's say it's a medical appointment, it will structure it in a particular way. If it's a business meeting, it will structure it in a different way. There is a limitation to it, which is you get 300 minutes of recording transcription per month. If you want more than that, you pay for a subscription. Unfortunately, that's not uncommon. Other devices that do a similar job to this have the same thing. So there is that limitation. But a technology like this for people can be quite transformative, because what it means is you're not trying to scribble notes. You know, let's say you're seeing your doctor, and you know, most of us come out of a GP or a consultant's appointment. We can't remember. We didn't ask the right questions. We can't remember what did he or she say about this and that. Here, you'll get the answers, and you'll be able to have a conversation with the transcript and ask it, what did it say about this, and what do you think about that? And it will do a wider conversation. Yeah. So it's a bit like a second brain, in a way. So this device,
I could do with one of those.
I could do with the first one. £179.99.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, but it's selling for just under £150 at the moment.
Okay. So that does sound very interesting. That's actually available on the market now. Soundcore Work. Excellent. Yeah. We'll come back with more in a moment. Clive Ball on LBC. And Fancy Tokalp's with us between now and three, talking technology. And I've had several people texting in with questions, Fevzi, about what you call sort of technology that would help the blind and partially sighted.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, they're really asking, what is there out there now, and maybe anything new that is available that would help for people who maybe want to use a laptop or a mobile phone or whatever. What kind of advancements are there that would help people with sight problems?
Sure. You know, I think we should do a special bespoke feature on this.
I was just thinking that, because it's actually a big question, and we probably won't do it justice. But if you give us an idea, and then I think maybe we should definitely come back another week and do a whole feature about what's available.
So traditionally on computers, you used to get and still get things called screen readers. So you get programs like JAWS, which was very, very well known, and it would basically read to you what was on the screen. But with the advent of AI built into everything now, dictation becomes, a real thing. So you can create letters that are beautifully drafted and structured, and emails and text messages, and you can do all of that. Screen readers are much more sophisticated than they used to be. In terms of mobile devices, both Apple iPhones and Google's Android smartphones have very good accessibility features on them. So some people are obviously, completely without sight. Some people are partially sighted. So you can have all these different settings to help you get the best from your phone according to your specific needs. I would say that although the accessibility features on both iPhones and Android phones are very much better than they used to be, and indeed very good, I think Apple has the edge because Apple has better customer service, either on the phone or in an Apple store. They will actually spend time with you and help go through all that those myriad of settings that will make your phone or your tablet far more accessible and far easier for you to use, honed to your particular needs, because there are a lot of those settings there and they're built in. So although you can get additional software, there's an amazing amount built in. And even sort of Windows and Mac OS has got accessibility settings as well. You know, the operating systems of desktop and laptop computers is becoming merged in a way with mobile platforms, so they're becoming a lot more similar, and that includes the accessibility settings. But it is quite amazing. And the other thing is not just computers and handheld mobile phones and tablets, it's all sorts of devices, because they are getting AI built into them. They're increasingly able to speak and communicate. You know, you're going to be having conversations with your toaster about Dostoevsky soon, I think. It's this is a different world. And of course, robots in the home, that's coming as well. That'll be fun.
So, yes, as you say, maybe we'll do a whole session on that at some point. Let's take another question. Here's Majid in Bath. Hello, Majid.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Quick question for you. I've got loads of VHS and 8mm videos that I've taken in the 80s. How do I convert them so they're digitized onto a laptop or onto a memory stick? Is there a device I can buy?
Yeah, so what you need is a video capture card. So there's two approaches to this. If you only have a handful of video cassettes, It's probably the most straightforward way is to use a professional company to convert them for you. But that becomes quite prohibitive if you've got, you know, more than 5 or 10 of these tapes and they're quite, you know, they're long. It's probably cheaper to do it yourself. So you need a capture device. The one that I use that I find works really well is from a company called Elgato. That's E-L-G-A-T-O. I think it's called the Video Converter. It sells for between about £60 and £80, depending on, you know, when it's on offer and not. And it's very good, very easy to use. It attaches to a computer and it produces video files that can go on a mobile device or on your computer, and you can watch them. You can even, create DVD discs and so forth. So that would be the way I would go, unless you need a smaller number done, and then you pay to get someone else to do it for you. There are also devices. I mean, oh, by the way, If you're going to do it yourself, obviously you'll need a VHS video player at the very least. And so what you do is you get a video player, the device captures the video and audio that comes out of the video player, it digitizes it, and it connects via USB into a computer to grab it as a digital file. So you need to do that. There are also devices, Panasonic used to make them, which had... It was like a double deck. It had a VHS video recorder or player on one side, a hard disk in the middle, if you like, and a DVD recorder on the other side. So you could digitize the tape. It could go to the hard disk and out via a cable, or it could go onto a DVD and be played by a DVD player or a computer with a DVD player on it.
Great question, Majid. Thank you very much for that. On that point, I've got another similar question from Dave in Barnet, who says he had a Sanyo camcorder and a Lexar Full HD SDHC video card, which is what things were recorded on. He says the camera's long expired. How can I play these videos either on a TV or a screen? The only device I have is an oldish 6-inch screen smartphone and a card reader, but I don't think they can be connected. Is there any way of playing something like that back, this video card?
So it record. What did it record onto?
An SDHC.
So an SD card, you know, yeah, one of those cards the size of. So you will need an SD card reader, which will have a USB connector on it, and then you'll need a device that you can connect that to. That would typically be a PC or a Mac. You might be able to do it with an iPad, but I wouldn't go down that route. It's more likely to be flaky. And then again, obviously it's in digital form. If it's been stored on an SD card, it's already digitized. That's a good thing. Now, the question is, how was it encoded? What codec did it use to record it? Is it MPEG-4? What is it? So you need something like VLC Player, which is a free piece of software that can play back a number of all the common formats, at least. So, but you still need to be able to get it onto a computer. So even if that means borrowing or hiring a computer. But then, of course, if you don't have a computer, what are you going to play it back on? If it's going to be a smartphone or something, then you'll need something that can convert it into the right format for the device that you're going to play it on.
Well, that was a very full and concise answer. Fantastic, because we're out of time. I hope that answers all your questions. Apologies to those who were waiting with questions or sent one in and didn't have time, but we will we'll be back with Fevzi, I'm sure, before too long. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
We'll talk. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again very soon.